Last weekend marked the one-year anniversary of the shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. The effects of the massacre touched many around the globe, the nation, and the region. Lifelong Fayetteville resident David Lewis lost his grandson. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke with Lewis about a bell-ringing ceremony last weekend to commemorate the event.
I have a history with that church. I grew up in Fayetteville and went to that church as a young kid, and I can remember that it was a thrill to me as a six-year-old to be able to ring the bell. And I got to ring the bell occasionally. That may have been an incentive to get me to go to church. But as a six-year-old, the bell was so heavy it would actually pull me off the ground, if I remember correctly. This was a few years ago.
Well, those things can be very large, and I'm sure it did, in fact, pull you off the ground.
It is large. So I'll find out how large it is by ringing it tomorrow.
What were the conversations like for you when you were approached about doing this, as you have your own personal connection to the event versus just a citizen who, parishioner who wanted to ring the bell?
It's hard to believe a year's gone by, but it's been from tomorrow's date last year began a very difficult time in all of our lives. So ringing the bell is certainly more special to me than it would be to somebody else, because I was very close to it, very touched by it, and went through the whole process of watching the city of Newtown bury their 26 people over the course of about a week. And it was a pretty rough time for sure. But my daughter has come out of it. She started the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation, which is really about teaching kids about wisdom, about how to be happy, about being grateful, about how to choose love over anger, about things that I don't think are really taught in most schools today to make it a better place, to make it a more peaceful place. And that was her wish to honor her son, and it's been her salvation, I think, to go someplace other than anger and resentment over the fact that her son was killed. So she's been able to rise above it by really working at being grateful, and choosing love over anger.
What kind of conversations did you and your daughter Scarlett have about the foundation? Did she talk to you at all about her decision to start the foundation?
I really told her that's what she should do with the rest of her life, and we talked about it. And of course, she at the time had a lot of misgivings about everything, and she was due to go back to work. I said, no, you've got to pursue this. This is something you can do that'll be a life's work that will make the world a better place. And she's taken it and so far funded it and moved in that direction. And she's been motivated. She says she's been pushed by Jesse's spirit to do these positive things. And I think that's very true. I think that's true.
So with the foundation, how do you reach out to others? How do you teach that message of love? You guys are trying to do it through educational programs in schools?
Well, that's what we would like to do. And the exact plan is uncertain as how best to reach kids. I mean, we could produce, and we have produced, a video about survivors of the Rwandan genocide, which is an interesting story, because during the first week after the tragedy, we got in touch by Skype with some Rwandan genocide victims who wanted to express their condolences and love to particularly JT, who was 13 years old, and to Scarlett. So these people are 21, 22 years old. The genocide was in 1994. And they told their stories through an interpreter of what they had been through, and that forgiveness and love had led them to a happy place. And they had the most wonderful, gentle smiles on their face, and their stories were absolutely horrific. I mean, they were, all their family was killed, and they were the only one there as a five-year-old to make their way in the world. So it was inspirational at the time to Scarlett and JT, because it would be easy to fall into your own trap of the world's been unkind to me, and I'm angry about it. But here, I mean, you couldn't imagine a worse story, and these kids had risen above it. So it was really a great thing to do. And we're doing a little documentary on this effort in Rwanda, hoping that we can create a curriculum around it and show it to schools where, you know, really there are a lot of lessons in this, but certainly a lesson is in gratitude. You know, it's certainly a lesson in love and a lesson in forgiveness. And simple wisdom that these kind of examples, I think, can bring the world that can't help but be positive for our young kids. And that's, we hope to do that in several different ways, maybe by using also modern ways to communicate with an eighth grader, you know, which may not necessarily be a video. It may be through a lot of other new type means of media conversations where they can actually interact. And so this is kind of an ongoing, how do we do this kind of deal. And the educational system, of course, is pretty well set in the way they think they should do things. So you're not going to go in and turn the world upside down overnight. But if you could do it from the ground up or from the grassroots up, that would really be neat. So that's the effort. That's the challenge.
Well, it's a good challenge. And like you said, it's a bit of a challenge. Is it particularly more challenging trying to do something that's, say, a change in attitude as opposed to a change in legislation? Because I know something that came out of this was folks talking about, you know, gun legislation one way or the other. And here you're coming up with this concept of not being angry, you know, and choosing love instead of being angry and forgiveness and things like that. Is it a little more, I guess, difficult to explain that to someone, that that's your goal, and then maybe even changing people's minds?
A little bit, but, you know, let's think about it for a second. A symptom of the illness is using drugs, is being in jail, is shooting somebody else. And how do you treat the illness? You go back and teach love. If you really want to solve these problems, you got to start at the source of the illness, and that's anger, and the child is not based in love. And so I wish that I had, at 12 years old or 14 years old, somebody had told me, you don't have to be angry. You know, you don't have to carry anger around. Hey, it's a toxic mix. It's not a fun thing to do. So I think, tell kids that. Tell them they don't have to be victims of the world, because victims of the world fill our prisons. So they have an alternative. They can be personally responsible, and going that route creates their own personal peace. Simple message, but I'm not sure how many times it's given. You know, it's just simply the truth. Now, can you prove it like 2 + 2 = 4? Maybe not, but it's common sense.
Can you tell me a little bit about your daughter's book? I understand the title was inspired by something that your grandson actually wrote.
He did. She lives in a little farmhouse in Sandy Hook. I think the farmhouse was built in about, I think, 1750. It's been added on to. But anyway, there's a wall in the kitchen that's actually a chalkboard. And after the tragedy, Scarlett lived with her mother for 2 weeks before she ever even went back into the house. And when she did go back into the house, she found on this chalkboard a message that Jesse had written in six-year-old spelling and basically six-year-old looking letters. It said, nurturing, healing, love. It was just there. She'd never seen it before. So it was just, she just took it as a message. And so she sent me out to get a piece of plexiglass, which we now put up over that message so that it'll always be there. But that on the cover of the book is basically a picture of his handwriting, Nurturing, Healing, Love. And that's where the title of the book came from. But the book is about her experience from day one until we had a birthday party for Jesse in June. So many people said to her, I couldn't do that. She said, well, yeah, you could. You just don't know it. You know, I mean, yeah, I've got to survive. I mean, it's very difficult, and I can see how you'd feel that way, but it's learning to accept what's real. I mean, that's one of our biggest challenges in life, accepting whatever comes to us, you know, even though it's difficult.
What do you hope that someone would take away from a memorial? I know what it means for you, But what does it mean for, you know?
Well, I have these little bracelets, and on them, it says choose love. Mm-hmm. And my daughter at the funeral, now this is a week after her son had been killed, her message at her son's funeral was to all of us, and this is, if there's something to take away from it, it's this. She said, "If a lot of you have asked me what you can do for me, and I'm going to tell you what you can do for me. You can change one angry thought to a loving one every day. If we do this, we can change the world, and an event like this will be far less likely to occur." She's asking you to take away and make an effort to. You may have to wear a little bracelet that says choose love. But when you want to get angry, just think about that, you know. Choose love over anger. You'll be happier and you'll make the world a better place. So
that was David Lewis inside Studio 123 Friday afternoon. You can find out more information at jesselewischooselove.org.
Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda conducted that interview for a daily edition of Ozarks at Large.